so dynamic, so magnetic, so effervescent, so full of energy and vitality.
Is it Herman?
No.
Is it Sherman?
No.
Is it Eddie? Is it Freddie?
Oh, no, no, no.
Is it Hart? Is it Schaffner? Is it Marx, perhaps?
Oh, you'll never, never guess it. Don't snap your cap.
It's just Miss Judy Garland.
Here's the little gal who's earned a number one priority in your pinup department, both in your barracks wall and in your hire, Judy Garland.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell.
Hey, Judy fans, this is Mindy. Thanks for listening to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next up in our series featuring Judy Garland is her appearance on The Bing Crosby Show. This one aired March 28th, 1951. It is the final of a four-week stretch that she was the featured guest on his show, completely designed by Bing to build up excitement and Judy's confidence for her overseas tour. Again, with the great singing, again, with the great personality and energy, and again, finally, they bring back some Bob Hope jokes. I had missed those in the previous episodes. And I guess Bob was doing a tour of his own, and Judy and Bob had expected to cross paths and be able to meet up somewhere along the way in England and other spots. So back in those days, Judy, Bob, and Bing could never truly get away from each other, no matter where they were in the world. They also had some jokes about Bing's Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, I had read before that he was involved in baseball. I wasn't too sure in the details. But yeah, he was had purchased stock in the Pirates in 1947, and he had some ownership and involvement all the way through the 1960s. And during that time, there were two World Series titles, the most famous being 1960, Pirates and Yankees. I am not a baseball fan, per se. I grew up outside of Cincinnati, so I root for the Reds. I always watched them growing up. But yeah, this is all new information for me. Maybe the baseball fans listening, probably not so much, but really thrilling game to read about. I haven't even seen clips, but just to read about it. It was, game seven, ninth inning, tied 9-9, and here comes some average hitter that nobody expected, I guess, to be the hero going into that World Series, but Bill Mazeroski, and I apologize if I said that wrong, and he hits a home run, wins the whole thing. It's what you play in the backyard. It's like bottom of the ninth, tied nine. You know, it's just that magical moment. And what's so interesting about it, the reason I even bring it up, is Bing was superstitious. He didn't actually go to Pittsburgh to watch games because they lost every time he went. So he would only see them when they were on the road. And he was also nervous to watch them, particularly in these high-pressure situations. So he was in Paris with his wife. They did not watch it live. And back then, there was no YouTube. There was no replay. There was no Sports Center. There was no way to see, except maybe a news clip here and there, you know, the entirety of the game. And so he had an assistant tape it from the live broadcast so he could watch it when he got home, just in case something spectacular happened. And so that ended up being this priceless gift to baseball fans, because prior to 1965, it was up to the home field to record the game in its entirety. And most of them didn't have the money and the equipment to do it. So it's one of the few games that you can watch from that era. And it happened to be what many consider to be the greatest baseball game of all time, because Bing Crosby was superstitious. They actually got to watch it, and it made a lot of people really, really happy. And then, speaking of greatest of all time, the concert GOAT contended would be Judy at the Palladium, her opening show, April 9th, 1951. And we have, I'm not sure if it's its entirety, but I listen to clips here and there. We have some recordings from that night, that concert, that is still talked about. And actually, movies are being made about coming up. We've talked about that as well. we'll kind of catch up with her there, really get into the ins and outs of that concert and how it's being memorialized in film yet again, and just really the impact it had in the music industry and her life, and I mean, just really pop culture for decades to the current day. So a lot to look forward to there. The clips I heard, she sounds outstanding. She sounds exactly like you would expect someone who is regarded as one of the best live performers in history to sound. So I'm really excited that we're going to be able to bring that to you next time. But she gets a great send-off here from her good buddy Bing and anticipation of running into Bob. So from March 28th, 1951, this is Judy Garland making her final pre-concert glory appearance on The Bing Crosby Show.
For you, what every smoker wants, mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste.
By Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfield's a milder, milder, plus no aftertaste.
Oh-ho, open a pack and give them a sniff.
Then you'll smoke 'em.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter. Welcome you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins of the Mayors, and Bing's guest, Miss Judy Garland. Ladies and gentlemen, last Wednesday on this very program, I went out on a limb to report that it was March 21st and the first day of spring. And tonight, I'd like to back up that report by stating that this is the seventh day of spring.
Is that your first exclusive, Luella?
Yes, sir. Well, that's what I feel this show needs, Bing.
Hmm?
News flashes. Why, if we give the folks hot news, everybody will tune in on us.
I guess.
Like they do for Winchell, Parsons, Hopper, Kefauver.
Oh, Kefauver doesn't do a news program. That's a quiz show. They even have a mystery tune.
A mystery tune?
Yeah.
Wonder what it is.
How can you believe me when I say I don't remember when you know I've been a liar all my life? And so on and so on. Oh, my filthy, no good life.
Yeah. Well, the way things are going for most of the boys, I thought it might be Goodnight Irene.
Yes. And high time, too. But to go on to more pleasant and healthier things in this great land of ours, have you seen, Ken, any of the big league baseball teams that are playing exhibition games out here in California?
Oh,
you've caught
sure.
some of the big clubs?
Naturally.
Who've
I've seen the New York Yankees play, Chicago White Sox,
mm-hmm.
Chicago Cubs, Cleveland Indians, and the St. Louis Browns.
Ken, I don't want to be hammy or anything, but aren't you overlooking another team that's playing out here, of whom I happen to be the vice president, the Pittsburgh Pirates? Hmm?
Well, Bing, somehow or other, I never associate the Pittsburgh Pirates with baseball.
Oh, just like all the other wise guys. Now, you're going to rib me about the Pirates.
A little bit, yeah.
Now, I'll admit that last season we didn't do too well, but this year I'm taking an active interest in the team.
Good.
Yes, sir. Mr. Rickey has put me on as the new relief man.
Well, congratulations. Are you the relief pitcher?
No, just the relief man. Every time the Pirates win a game, I jump up and yell, "Wow, what a relief."
Bing, I think Branch Rickey should put you in a more active job. You may not have to jump up all season.
Listen, old boy, will you hold still for a little statistical information?
I will. What is it?
May I tell you, dear boy, that 1 week ago last Monday at Wrigley Field in Los Angeles, the Pittsburgh Pirates beat Mr. Hope's Cleveland Indians by a score of 4-2.
Oh, well, so the Pirates beat Cleveland 4-2. What does that prove?
What does it prove? It proves that Pittsburgh is twice as good as Cleveland.
Uh-huh. Now, on the day after Pittsburgh beat Cleveland 4-2, uh-huh. the San Diego team yeah. beat Pittsburgh 12-1. Isn't that true?
I refuse to answer on the grounds it might incriminate me.
Now look, Mr. C, it's a matter of public record. It was on the sports page of every newspaper. San Diego beat the Pirates 12-1. How do you account for that?
Well, you know how that happened?
How?
It just happens that the Pittsburgh Pirates were overwhelmed with patriotism.
Oh.
You see, as we drove by the Naval Training Station down there, 8 of our very best players jumped off the bus and joined the Navy.
Well, I guess they figured they wanted to be on a winning team.
That's not it. It's just that young ball players are impulsive.
Mm.
We drove by the Fox studio one day, and 6 of them jumped off and joined Betty Grable.
Only six of them?
Well, there's seven counting me.
Oh, say, that reminds me. I understand the Pirates are going to make a movie out of MGM.
Mm-hmm, that's right. It's called The Angels and the Pirates. Paul Douglas is going to be starring in it.
Well, a good picture wouldn't hurt the Pirates.
Good picture wouldn't hurt me either.
Well, why don't...
That laughter in the band is,
yes,
of a snide quality. This is sinister, wasn't it?
Yes.
Hollow laughter.
Bing, why don't you get into the picture with the Pirates?
I tried to, Ken. I went out to Metro. I made a screen test, but someone else got the part.
Who?
Janet Lee.
Well, she's a nice kid. Well,
I guess so, but I just can't see Janet on third base.
No.
Matter of fact, although I do have a small part in the picture, in the very last scene in the picture, I jump up and yell, "Wow, what a relief."
Well, I'm glad the picture has a happy ending.
Oh, me too, Ken. And now, to be real neat here, sort of tie things together, I think I'd better get on to a happy beginning with the Rhythm Airs. Our opening number tonight is a quaint little thing titled Sparrow in the Treetop. John Scott, we're ready for the opening pitch, high and on the outside.
Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, though he loves his mate. Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, scared of going home because it's too darn late.
Don't look at me, sweetheart, with scorn in your eyes. I've been out all night, ain't gonna tell you no lies. I stopped in one place, I heard him singing a song. Like a lonely sparrow, I started singing along. Just a singing
sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, all he loves his mate.
Singing in the tavern,
sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, scared of going home because it's too darn late.
In walked a blonde and dear, she asked me to dance. I told that blonde,
No,
that there wasn't a chance.
That there wasn't a chance.
I love my kids,
bow,
and my beautiful wife.
Is that the honest truth, dear?
Well, I swear by my life, I kept a singing
in the
tavern all night, singing in the tavern,
sparrow in the
tavern,
scared of going on because it's too darn late, scared of going on because it's too darn late.
It just occurred to me that you and Bob Hope are rivals at baseball, golf, just about everything under the sun,
yeah,
except where Chesterfields are concerned.
That's true, Ken. When it comes to Chesterfields, Rotund, Robert, and I are brothers under the cellophane.
Well, Bing, that reminds me of another story where Chesterfields brought two people together.
What was
it happens in MGM's new picture, Teresa. That's all about a G.I. Joe and an Italian girl played by Pier Angeli.
And the pack of Chesterfields plays Cupid, huh, Ken?
That's right. Oh, I'm not going to tell you how and spoil the story
for you. That.
But seriously, friends, it's one of the most touching love stories ever screened, MGM's Teresa.
Well, I'll have to catch it, Ken, when it comes around to our local cinema.
Do that.
But let's not overlook the fact that beside being a great matchmaker, Chesterfield is also a great smoke. In the first place, Chesterfields are made in the world's newest and most modern cigarette factories, where they're made exactly right.
Second, Chesterfield gives you all the benefits of advanced research in the world's newest and most modern research laboratories.
Third, Chesterfields are milder, and as proof, 1,500 prominent tobacco growers say, Chesterfield is the cigarette that smells milder and therefore smokes milder.
And fourth, Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. The taste panel told us that.
Well, sir, there you have the complete Chesterfield story. As you can see, Chesterfields have everything, everything that every smoker wants. So always buy Chesterfield.
If they made me a king, I'd be but a slave to you. If I had everything, I'd still be a slave to you. If I ruled the night, stars and moon so bright, still I'd turn for light to you. If the world to me bowed, yet humbly I'd plead to you. If my friends were a crowd, I'd turn in my need to you. If I ruled the earth, what would life be worth? If I hadn't the right to you.
Folks, thank you, Rhythmaz. You're grand. Now, folks, here's our very charming guest, Miss Judy Garland.
Hiya, Bing.
Gee, Judy, aren't you thrilled? Aren't you just in a regular tizzy, leaving for England tomorrow?
Oh, that's right, Bing. I'm off to London to play the Palladium.
Boy, this is really something, huh? Quite an event.
Well, I've never traveled much. I even get excited when I take a ride on the Sunset Bus.
Who doesn't? Pretty game guide aboard that. But you've got a lot to look forward to in London. Why, you can even visit Bob Hope's birthplace, the trap where Flab saw the light of day first. That'd be grand?
That's right. I must visit Bob's birthplace.
Oh, but listen, don't go on Friday. No? Bad day. You'll never get in. It's a mackerel market now, you know.
You know, Bob will be in London while I'm there.
Bob will be there? Oh, joy. Oh, that such joy could come to you. Oh, you're lucky, you grand. Oh, I would that I were you. Oh, to be in London now that Hope is here.
Oh. I think it'll be nice to have a big brother to look after me while I'm alone in a strange city.
Well, if Bob's going to be there, you'll need a big brother. Real big one.
I don't know, Bing. You know, Bob's slowed down quite a bit lately.
That's impossible, Judy. The world may have speeded up, but Bob hasn't slowed down. He's got great vitality, that boy. He hasn't even resorted to yummy yogurt yet.
Oh, he's amazing, isn't he?
That's the right adjective. Amazing is right. When you consider that only 40 years ago, he started out in London as a mackerel. That's what he did. And today he's one of the biggest sharks in the United States.
He's a shark.
Well, you wouldn't understand. You don't shoot pool, kid, but he's a shark.
If I'm not a hit in London, I may have to learn how.
You don't have to worry about that. You're a hit anywhere. Now, what about a song, Judy, tonight?
Oh, what would you like, Ben?
You know the one I'd like to hear? I'm sure everyone listening concurs, too, because it's one you did on the show here a couple of weeks ago, and it was a big buff. Rockabye Your Baby with a rockabye.
Dixie Melody?
Yes, with a rockabye.
All right, this is for you.
Rock-a-bye your baby with a Dixie melody. When you croon a tune from the heart of Dixie, just hang my cradle, mammy mine, right on that Mason Dixon line, and swing it from Virginia to Tennessee with all the love that's in you. Weep no more, my lady, sing that song again for me. Sing, oh, Black Georgia, So you had me on your knee. A million baby kisses I'll deliver if you will only sing that Swanee River. Rock-a-bye, your rock-a-bye baby with a Dixie melody. Oh, weep no more, my lady, sing that song again for me. Sing, oh, Black Joe, just as I'll deliver if you will only play that Swanee River. Rock-a-bye, your rock-a-bye baby with a Dixie melody.
Oh, that was thrilling. Judy, that'll knock him cold at the Palladium. You'll have him in sections over there. You're going to do a few English songs, though, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
Which ones are you going to do, Judy?
Well, I'm going to sing I Taw a Putty Taps.
That's English?
Certainly.
Okay, Putty Tat to Dinglish Tat.
I'm going to do a great old English song,
Ben. Which one's that?
Limehouse Blues.
Oh, Limehouse. Oh, I know that tune, Judy. Of course, that was written way back in the days when the Limehouse District in London was evil and sinister and dangerous. Why, it was even worse than Bel Air on Saturday night.
There's nothing dangerous about Bel Air. It's a very swanky residential neighborhood.
Not dangerous. Well, what is it? New delivery. Not dangerous. I knew a fellow who was walking through Bel Air minding his own business. He was putting good housekeeping seals of approval on garbage cans when all of a sudden a kid zoomed up behind him in a Cadillac, knocked him over a $10,000 mink tennis net into a marble swimming pool where he drowned into lukewarm champagne. And you say Bel Air is in danger.
Thank you, Somerset Maugham. We enjoyed your play very much.
I have another interesting anecdote about a rubber planter who falls in love with the native daughter of a hamster breeder in the San Fernando Valley. But I'm afraid I just don't have time for it.
I hope not. Do you have time to rehearse me a little on Limehouse Blues?
Oh, we can do a little of it. John Scott, do you know how to start this affair?
Oh, Limehouse kid, oh, Limehouse kid, going the way that the rest of them did.
For broken blossom and nobody's child, haunting and taunting, you're just kind of wild.
Oh, Limehouse Blues, I've the real Limehouse Blues. Learn down in Limehouse those sad China blues.
Rings on your fingers and tears for your crown.
That is the story of old China
Town. I was wondering, what are you going to do after you finish your engagement in London at the Palladium? You're going over to Paris, aren't you, Judy?
Oui, oui.
Ah, you talk like a native already.
Hey, do you know any good restaurants in Paris, Bing?
You have come to the right man. Mm-hmm. I have checked with John Trotter, and I have a complete list for you. The very first day you're in Paris, Judy, I want you to go out to a favorite place of mine called Chez Anna for lunch.
Okay.
Here's what you should order. Pâté de maison, that's goose liver. Then biscomade, that's lobster soup. Haricot vert au beurre, string beans with that wonderful French butter. Then you should have poulet au vin blanc. That's chicken in white wine.
Well, should I order all that?
Oh, yes, but for goodness sake, let me tell you something. Don't let them talk you into les chattes princesses et les bon femmes.
Why not?
That's putty tat. Do not go for that item. Start it.
Oh. Oh, my. Well, there's a dish I'm going to be sure to duck.
Oh, the duck is delicious. Judy, I really envy you. Gosh, Paris in the spring, April in Paris. Huh?
Well, that's not a bad tune either.
Well, let's slip into it just like we were cute.
April in Paris.
Chestnuts in blossom. Holiday tables under the trees.
April in Paris. This is a feeling no one can ever.
Never knew the charm of spring, never met it face to face. I never knew my heart could sing, never missed a warm embrace till April in Paris. Whom shall I run to? What have you done to my heart?
Well, I'd like to be there right now. Wouldn't that be nice, sitting at one of those sidewalk cafes, watching people from all over the world strolling down the boulevard? As I sit there sipping on Lee Coca-Cola, says here, without a disturbing thought in my mind, without a worry in the world.
Say, Bing, how about Italy?
Oh, Rome, Milan, Venice, Florence.
Can you tell me a good Italian restaurant to go to?
Sure, Nino and Nella's, Greenwich Village, New York. But according to Henry McLemore, I've been reading Henry a lot lately. He's over there, he's overseas, and he's been writing some great columns, some wonderful stories recently in his column about the Isle of Capri.
Well, I guess we've arrived at another pretty good song. Would you care to start it?
I think we've planted it adequately.
Twas on the Isle of Capri that I found her, beneath the shade of an old walnut tree. Oh, I can still see the flowers blooming round her,
where we met on the Isle of Capri. She was as sweet as a rose at the dawning,
but somehow fate hadn't meant her for me.
And though you sailed with the tide in the morning, still my heart's on the Isle of Capri. Summertime was nearly over, blue Italian sky above.
I said, lady, I'm a rover, can you spare a sweet word of love?
She whispered softly, it's best not to linger. And then as I kissed her hand, I could see she wore a plain golden ring on her finger. Was goodbye on the Isle of Capri.
Jessica Michelle.
By Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves his case. Yes, Chesterfield's a mother, mother, plus no aftertaste.
Oh, hold, open a pack, give him a sniff,
then you'll smoke him.
Oh, you were wonderful. Judy, you sang that beautiful. We put you on steady. Just, that's all you do is sing that one line. How about telling the gentle people why you're such an enthusiastic Chesterfield fan?
Oh, it's not very complicated, Bing. I like them. I smoke them because of all cigarettes, Chesterfield's my choice.
You go for that mildness,
eh? I sure do.
Smart girl. Yes, sir, smart girl. Folks, buy a pack of milder Chesterfields, and I'll wager you'll agree with Miss Garland. You'll always buy Chesterfields because they have, for you, what every smoker wants. Mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. 1,500 prominent tobacco growers have proven Chesterfield's mildness. And the country's first and only cigarette taste panel proved that Chesterfields leave no unpleasant aftertaste. So get with them right quick, huh? Chesterfield. A lovely new song, product of the collaboration, songwriting collaboration between John Scott Trotter and Tom Adair. Any town is Paris when you're young. In any sky, a dreamer's moon is hung. Every love's the one love that you swear you'll never leave. And the gypsy spell of spring is yours to weave. All the world is magic when you're young. Every song, the sweetest ever sung. Every street is lover's lane, where wishing stars are strung. And any town is Paris when you're young.
You swear you'll never leave, and the gypsy spell of spring is yours to weave.
All the world is magic when you're young. Every song, the sweetest ever sung. Every street is lover's lane, where wishing stars are sprung. Yes, any town is Paris when you're young.
That is our closer for tonight. Thank you, folks. That represents the sum and substance of tonight's soiree. Judy, it's really been a lot of fun. I want to tell you this honestly and sincerely, to do all these shows with you lately. We're going to miss you, too, while you're away.
Oh, thank you, Bing.
Bon voyage, Judy.
Thank you, Bing. Good night.
Yes, smash. Good night, folks. See you next week for Chesterfield, the best cigarette for you to smoke.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Hopalong Cassidy, Dinah Shore, and Jack Pepper.